unity refers to the state of being combined or joined together, often implying harmony and agreement among different parts or individuals. It can describe the oneness of a single entity, I suppose, yes, or coming together of lots of different things to form a cohesive whole. Unity also encompasses the concept of shared purpose, agreement, and a sense of belonging. Now, what struck me when I was reading that was the word harmony. And it's not everyone saying or singing the same thing. That's called unison, when you sing, everyone sings the same notes, but rather singing different parts, and it all comes together into something beautiful when we sing harmony. So we're going to give it a go. We're going to sing a song that's got three different parts. So you're going to have to try this with me. Now, I guess it's also a lesson in itself. Unity is not necessarily easy, and nor is singing parts in a song, but we're going to give this a go. We need the words. Yeah, oh dear, they're a bit small, aren't they? I don't know if we can make them any bigger, but... So these are the words, Spirit of God. Let me turn this on. So there are three parts. Spirit of God, bring freedom to every heart. That's the first part. The second part is the second two lines. Holy Counselor, lead us into truth. And the third part is awaken us, life-giving breath of God. The last two lines we all sing together at the end, okay? So we're going to have a go at this. What we'll do, I think we'll probably need to have the church somehow split into three. So if I sort of say, I don't know, yeah, between Ian and Heather, sorry, you're going to have to sing different parts. So somewhere up there, that side can be part one. In the middle, so we'll have Heather through to, oh, I don't know, Geeta, somewhere sort of that sort of way, as part two. And then this lot will be part three. Okay. So. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Let's have, this is number one. This is number two. And this is number three, because Laura's going to sing the first part, and she's over there. So, okay. Okay. Oh, and it's the easiest, she says. Okay. So what we'll do, first of all, is... we'll sing each of the parts. We'll sing them from the front. We'll sing it through twice so that you get a feel for each of the parts. And then we'll try layering it up. And let's see how we got on. Is this all right? We'll give this a go. Yeah. Okay. So one, two, three, four.
Spirit of God, bring freedom to every heart.
Give that a go. And
Spirit of God, bring freedom to every heart.
That's part one. So this is going to be part two.
Holy Counselor, lead us, to truth. Holy Counselor, lead us into truth.
That's part two. One, two, three.
Awaken us, life-giving breath of God.
One, two, three.
Awaken us, life-giving breath of God.
Okay. Shall we do that again before we then actually try and put it all together? Yeah, okay. One, two, three, four.
Spirit of God, Bring freedom to every heart.
One, two, three, four.
Spirit of God, bring freedom to every heart.
One, two, three, four. One.
Holy Counselor, lead us. Lead us into truth. Holy Counselor, to truth.
One, two, three.
Awaken us, life-giving breath of God.
One, two, three.
Awaken us, life-giving breath of God.
Okay, let's put it together. Spirit of God,
bring freedom to every heart. Spirit of God, bring freedom to every heart.
Are you ready, part two?
Spirit of
Holy
God,
Counselor, going.
Spirit of God,
awaken us,
life-giving breath
of God.
Spirit of God,
awaken us,
life-giving
breath of God.
Spirit of God,
we counsel. Spirit again.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, send us in your power.
Beautiful. Wow. Well done. So, I think we'd better have notices after that, hadn't we?
Morning, everyone. So, on the 16th of July, we have our next church members' meeting. I think if you are a church member, you are, of course, warmly invited to every church meeting. This, I think, is one that you will definitely want to prioritise because it will be Ali's first church meeting back after her sabbatical, and we're planning to allocate a significant amount of time just to give her freedom to share her experiences of sabbatical, what she felt God has said to her, and, you know, just her perspective of sort of what she has learnt and what she has experienced over that time. So I think that will be a lovely time just to share together and to hear back from her. Please bring your own cup if you would like to have refreshments. That just makes things so much easier for the people who are having to tidy up and lock up at the end. I will send out a more detailed agenda, but for the time being, if you have any items of any other business that you would like to be included on that agenda, please can you let me know by the 9th of July, so that gives us a week to sort out, finalise the agenda before the actual meeting. Thank you very much. Second thing, it will not have escaped your notice, it is somewhat warm at the moment. If you are a leader of an organisation that meets at church and you have had to, or you find yourself having to fling open the doors and the windows to make sure that we can get some air circulated through to try and keep things as cool as possible during your event, please, please, can you make sure that you check that everything is properly secured when you do your final lock-up before going home? And the last thing is to say that at the end of July, the Limbu family, Dilip and Bina, and all four children, are all going back to Nepal to see their home church, and would very much like to send the greetings of Yardley Baptist Church when they go. So next Sunday, we are planning to have a church photo, hopefully if the weather is still nice, outside the church. So, you know, remember to wash your hair and, you know, put your best smile on and all the rest of it. We will have a church photo after church next Sunday that we can put on a card, and that can be I can go with Dilip and Bina and family over to Nepal to send our greetings to that church that we have had a part in supporting over the last few years. Thank you very much.
Okay, at the back of church, on the table, we've put some cards out, like best wishes, and these are for the people that, on the pastoral team, we've looked at as being those that we can give cards to, those that don't come to church now, or have struggled to come to church, maybe not well at this time. Just so, if we can ask everyone to, before you leave, sign the card, and then we can give them out to those people that are, those that we think of. There are going to be spare cards, so if you can think of anyone that does come to our church or is part of YBC, we can always add them to a card as well to be signed. Okay. Oh, and I just want us to remember Dilip and his family, because Dilip's lost his mother just over 2 weeks ago, so where he would have been going to see his mother is now not going to, you know, it's going to be a difficult time with the family. But do pray for them. Pray for the family out there that are obviously going through this time of grief as well. So thank you.
The months seem to come round very quickly. Next Saturday is the first Saturday in the month, so that means prayer breakfast. So if you want to join online, I'll send out an email this week. Please come and join us to listen to God's word, to respond to what he says, and to hear what he might be saying to us as we're still thinking about the and now what. And then Sunday in the afternoon, in the evening, I'll have a look at my diary because I'm now going to the Heber thing. So I might not be back for the prayer, the pastoral prayer, but I'll let you know for sure next Sunday morning what's happening. Are you going to say Baby J? BBG? Yeah.
Next Friday at 6:30, we've got the Boys Brigade, Girls Brigade, the BBGA display at 6:30. So if you're free and you can make it, come and see what the young men and women can do, and they're going to get loads of badges and prizes, and your support would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
I'm assuming no more notices. Great, thank you. So let's now take up our offering, please, which gives us the opportunity for those of us that are committed to the church to give towards the work of this church and the charities that we support. If you're a visitor today, please just pass the bags along the row without feeling you need to put anything in it. Our card machine, if you were hoping to use that, apparently doesn't enjoy the heat, so it's not working. So if you are wanting to make a payment some other way, please speak to Isabel. Thank you. So let's pray now for wisdom over the how this money is spent, and also let's pray for our children and their leaders who are going to be going out to kids' church in a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the abundance of gifts that you give to us, and Lord, please accept these offerings as a token of our thanks. Lord, please give the leadership of the church wisdom in how this money is spent. Lord, I pray that your kingdom will be multiplied by what we do with this money. And Lord God, we pray too for our children and their leaders who are going out to their groups now. Lord, I pray that you would give them a really great time together. Help them to be united. Help them to know what it is to be together, working in harmony and knowing your love. So, Lord, would you bless them as they go out for their time together now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just before we sing our next song, I wanted to spend a little bit of time in prayer, praying really for unity in our church and in the church worldwide. So let's pray together. Our Father God, we thank you for our church family. Thank you for calling each of us to serve your kingdom through this wonderful church. Thank you for using our individual gifts and abilities to show others your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we are so thankful for the freedom to worship you. You are great and greatly to be praised. You are feared above all gods. The earth is yours and everything in it. You laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Lord, no pagan god is like you. None can do what you can do. Loving Father, help us to love you with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. As your dearly loved children, we proclaim that because of your love, we walk in unity and love with one another. It is through the love that we show each other that people will know that we are your disciples. Help us to live in harmony with each other and resist division. Teach us to obey your command, to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Inspire us to encourage and build each other up. Holy Spirit, show us how to promote unity within our church family today. Merciful Father, forgive our many sins. We admit that at times we have sinned against you and against one another. Forgive us for holding on to grudges. Forgive us for leaning towards our own understanding and failing to acknowledge you in all our ways. Help us to release past and present offences and be willing to forgive one another, just as God has forgiven us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So before Steve comes and preaches to us, let's sing together, I Lift My Hands. To speak to us now. Father God, we thank you for Steve. Thank you for the words that you have been giving him. And Lord, I pray that we would be hearing you through what Steve brings to us today. And Lord, may we not only hear but respond to what you are asking of us today. So bless Steve as he preaches to us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right, good morning. I haven't stood here and done this for quite a long time, so if it's any good, fair enough. If it's rubbish, that's the reason why. So I've got a number of photos that are prompts for me to say some stuff, and as I put all the photos together, I was umming and ahhing about what order the photos might need to be in. So I might end up flicking backwards and forwards, but I hope that somewhere in this next 20 minutes or so, there's one picture that perhaps you want to take away with you. There's one sentence that you want to take away with you, one thought, one image, one feeling, and we'll see where we go. So let's pray for all of this, and then we'll see what happens next. So, Lord, I pray for the words that I say. I pray for the words that people hear. I pray for the extra words that end up in people's heads. And I pray that each of us, me included, will find something here to take away with me and with us over the coming days and weeks and months and years, maybe. Thank you that you can do this. You can speak to us all as individuals, and I ask that you bless this time. Amen. Okay, so let's have a read. Oh, hello, Zoom. Sorry, I'm going to move around. I apologise. Just maybe they can listen to me and see what's on the screen. I don't know. It's up to you. Although, oh, the camera's following me. Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And I'm going to read it through a couple of times, but I'm going to read it through from here because there's this. So how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured out on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Okay. So, a couple of things. So, this has got to be 15 years ago or so. Alison and I and our two girls and Helen and John and their daughter Daisy, we were in a big, a cruiser, I suppose, on the Norfolk Broads. And we were playing a big game of Scrabble. I think it was only me, Helen, Alison and John. I think it was just the four of us. We were playing a big game of Scrabble. And John kept trying words that didn't exist. And he was trying to convince us that stree and tuval were real words. And so in the end, it's got to be 15 years ago, because I don't think we had internet. We just had to be convinced of ourselves that these words didn't exist. So after the game, we decided that we would make up a definition for stree and for tuval, because they sounded like the two most likely made-up words to be real. So we decided that stree is that mist that forms if it's been rainy or dewy overnight, and then the sun shines on quite a cold day, and you get a layer of mist above the grass. So I suppose stree would be morning ground mist, something like that. Tuval, much more easy to explain. To frolic with caution. So my two examples of frolicking with caution, one would be running about in a field where there's cowpats. And the other is that every year at the school I'm at now, there's a staff rounders match. And the rounders match is played on a field which is also inhabited by rabbits and geese. So the rabbits make little holes and the geese leave their doings. So rounder, as you're running around. So stree, ground, morning, mist, and tuval, to frolic with care. Okay, this will be important. So how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Right, the first bit, I think. Yeah. So this is Hermon. This is twice as tall as Snowdon. And you can see the snow on the top and there's every type of weather there. Snow, rain, mist, dew, sunshine, cold, wind, everything. Absolutely everything. It's a glorious place. Loads of people live around it. All the runoff of the water of all the streams, all that sort of stuff. It's a place full of life. Zion isn't like that. Zion is a scrubby, dry place where rain hardly falls. You get a bit of moisture, just enough to grow some grass every so often, but you don't get the glorious, humid, moist conditions that happen on Hermon. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. I thought about this. I thought, I wonder how that would sound if this was round here. Sheldon Country Park. Tesco's over the road. It's as if the dew of Sheldon Country Park were falling on Tesco's in Sheldon. The stree at Sheldon Country Park. That's not a real photo, I apologise. But I have seen it there. Sometimes when I'm heading off to work, you can see the stree. And now I'm so glad that I don't just have to think that to myself. I can say that word in the full knowledge that about 40, 50 people will know what I'm talking about. I saw the stree today. Oh, was it on Sheldon Country Park? Yes, it was. Now, Tesco's is only just over the road. But Tesco's doesn't get stree. It just doesn't. But the refreshing nature of that happening there. Two things. Wouldn't that be lovely? But wouldn't that be ridiculously unlikely? And it does seem a shame that David, or whoever wrote this, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's as if the dew, it's as if the stree at Sheldon Country Park was falling on Sheldon Tesco. Well, it never happens. And isn't that a shame? The dew of Hermon doesn't fall on Mount Zion. It doesn't. Wouldn't it be beautiful if, but it doesn't. And I think that's one of the things that struck me about this. We'll talk a little bit about the idea who this was for and who would have said this psalm in the first place. But in the most part, this beautiful thing, lovely, doesn't fall on Tesco's car park. Okay. Now, another story. This is the middle bit of here. Here we go. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. In some versions, it doesn't really say collar. It says the hem. And somebody has thought that the hem might be this hem, whereas other translations think it might be the hem at the very bottom. So it is everywhere. Now, Exodus 29 says, "Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent and wash them with water. Take the garments and dress Aaron with the tunic, the robe of the ephod itself, and the breastpiece. Fasten the ephod on him by its skillfully woven waistband. Put the turban on his head and attach the sacred diadem to the turban. Take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it on his head." There we go. There's a picture of that. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. So when God's people live in unity, the picture that this is trying to paint is of that, kind of the idea of drenched. Now, a few weekends ago, Alison and I weren't here because we went to London to watch Joshua Martin, if that name means anything to you guys, running the London Marathon. And so whilst he was doing big loops of various different places, we managed to find a route which meant that we saw him three times running past. And at one of the places that we were standing, there was a misting zone. And the misting zone, you run through, I'm not running, but you run through and you're surrounded by this mist of water. Now, most of the people that we saw going through this first misting station went through and came out going, oh my word, absolutely drenched. Because it was hardly a misting zone, it was more like an industrial shower unit. This isn't a photo I took. I'm not even sure it's the marathon we went to. But it was very much a case of you expected it to be this little cloud of moisture, but it ended up being something where they were going after they'd run through. Now, that idea of the oil not just being poured on his head, but running everywhere, it's impressive. It gets everywhere. It covers everything. It's consuming. And that idea, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity, it's an all-consuming thing. There is a moment, I guess, when all you feel is that, oh, this is great. Now, I don't know about you, but I felt that a few minutes ago when we were all singing together. Apart from Ali and Tim and maybe Laura, we'd never heard that song before. And yet within 2 minutes, we were making a beautiful noise, and probably it was all we could think about. And that unity at that moment felt a little bit drenching. Now, I'm not sure that's the point I want to make just yet. Let's see what happens next. David? When David Suchet reads this out, it only takes him 30 seconds. And you know, sometimes when you see somebody preaching, or when you are getting ready for a preach, you realise that the Bible verse you've got to read is 5 minutes. You're thinking, oh, brilliant. But this one's only 30 seconds, so I've got to read it 6 times to make sure that I've used up the time. So how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So what have I said so far? I've said, it's a shame that the simile that is used in here is something that is so rare, it might as well not happen. You can understand its beauty, but it is something that is so rare, it's almost been given an impossible thing. So unity in the church, unity amongst God's followers, is almost within this seen as being rare. But when it does happen, it's drenching. It's all-consuming. I imagine once Aaron left the anointing thing, he would have trudged back to where he was from, very conscious of the fact that every single bit of him smelt and felt of this oil that had been poured on him. And there are those moments, as brothers and sisters, where that drenching of the whole thing just feels really, really, really important and really consuming, much as that photo there. Okay. Now, this is a bit of a tangent. But this is Alison Becker. And he plays for Liverpool. Now, he's the goalkeeper. And it would only be Aston Villa fans who wouldn't say that Alison Becker is the best goalkeeper in the world. Now, Alison, he's changed his shirt this year, not sure why, but he has Becca on his shirt now. He had Alison for ages, and whenever I did fantasy football teams, I'd always pick Alison because that would make Alison smile. There we go. But this is Alison Becker. Now, he's either the first or the second best goalkeeper in the world. Most people would say he was the first. And I don't know whether you call it coming out, but he came out as a believer, as a Christian. So these are on his social media. This isn't something that other people have said. This is on his social media. So this is the shirt that he wore when Liverpool won the Premier League. And this is his profile picture on Instagram, I think. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 121, verse 1 to 2. Now, I don't know what you think about this, but I'll read this because I think this is maybe a temptation as to what we think. When a celebrity becomes a Christian, many believers get enthusiastic, which isn't necessarily wrong. We celebrate the influence, their reach, and the possibility of a large platform for the gospel. But this joy can reveal a subtle imbalance. We value celebrity conversion more than spiritual communion. We embrace strangers but neglect our spiritual siblings over small doctrinal differences. And I read this somewhere else. Why is it that we roll out the red carpet for a celebrity who posts a Bible verse, but we roll our eyes at a brother or sister who sings worship songs we don't like? Now, we're not guilty of that all the time. But a world-famous goalkeeper posts a Bible verse is just seen as unequivocally brilliant. And yet a brother or sister who has a slightly different opinion about something that we have causes rolling eyes. Now, that seems as though we are trying to show unity to this person we've never met, but we're not so fussed about unity with the person who's sitting in the next row to us. Now, I'm going to leave it there with that bit. That was just a bit of an aside. But think about your reaction to seeing that, and think about the reaction that you have when someone that you love says something that you disagree with. And that must happen all of the time. Now, it's funny, Heather was just saying about getting a photo of the church. I couldn't find a photo of us. The only other photo I have that looks anything like a number of us here, tragically, is a photo of the back of everybody's head at Warwick's funeral. There isn't a photo of us. So this is us. But actually, more importantly, this is us. And the amazing thing is, have I missed a photo? There it is. Oh. I didn't realise that was a copyright image. Unbelievable. Don't tell Ali, she'll be so cross with me. Right, can you look at your thumbprint, please? Now, that's unique. It is unique. Nobody else's has that thumbprint. You are unique. Your thumbprint is unique. Your first fingerprint is unique. They're all unique. Your DNA is unique. You are unique. You are you on your own. Which means that your thoughts about everything is going to be different from everybody else. So your thoughts are going to be different to everybody else's. Now, just stare at the person next to you. Excellent. They think different to you. they think different to you. So as Ali said a little while ago, this idea of unity can't be everybody in the same boat, everybody thinking exactly the same thing. Unity has to be something more than that. I've got a modern day psalm here. I'm really hoping there's a few people know how this ends. This would be brilliant if people can finish the last line for this. Win or lose, sink or swim, one thing is certain, we'll never give in. Side by side, hand in hand. Okay, that was limited. That was Paul McCartney and the Frog Chorus from the 1980s. Win or lose, sink or swim, one thing is certain, we'll never give in. Side by side, hand in hand, we all stand together. There's no sense of like agreement or you've got to think exactly the same as everybody else. But we are unique, so how can we possibly believe the same things that other people believe? Venn diagram. It would be amazing to work out what our central bit is. What really goes in the middle? What really goes in the middle? And as another person is added to the Venn diagram, that middle bit gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. I genuinely don't know what would be in the middle. I genuinely don't know. Because even some of the thoughts about Jesus and God and stuff, if you have this many people in the same place, that little bit in the middle is going to get tinier and tinier and tinier the more people you add to our crew. It's very difficult to represent even four circles, because if you see, if this one on the left is number one, and number two, and number three, and number four, it can't even show things that only one and four believe in. It's really limited. But what it does show is that there is an intersection for all of us. And I genuinely don't know the list of things that would be in the middle. But it would be a small number of things. A small number of things. So Alison Becker says God is good. He quotes a Bible verse and he wears a t-shirt. And that is brilliant. Amazing. Someone in our community maybe disagrees with us about something and it becomes oh so, so, so important. Now, I hope you can tell that with this little story, this is going to be an analogy for whatever you want it to be. But in the Bible, it says that shellfish are unclean. So there would be every right for somebody to believe that we as Christians shouldn't eat shellfish. But there's another story in the New Testament where Peter has a vision of a blanket with a load of animals in. Oh, that's all right then. So some people might trust one verse, and some people might trust another verse. They might trust this verse because it's newer. They might trust this verse because it's been accepted for 2,000 years. But for most Christians, having a problem with eating prawns might be to do with being a vegetarian rather than being something that's in the Bible. I like prawn sandwiches. I don't think anything's going to stop me eating them unless somebody just told me I was allergic to them. And if I'm wrong and I shouldn't have been eating prawn sandwiches, I don't think it will really matter. Now, I hope that with me standing here and saying I really like prawn sandwiches, I hope that doesn't detract from us being able to be together. I couldn't care about prawn sandwiches. But I hope that you can see that this is an analogy for whatever you want it to be. I have absolutely no idea what Alison thinks about prawn sandwiches. And for all of us, it doesn't matter because he's posted a Bible verse. Now, what you or I think about prawn sandwiches, we can't let that affect us. We cannot let that affect us. Right, last bit. Alison's watching somebody doing some stuff in a choir today. She said, is it going to go okay today? I said, I don't know. I said, well, what are you hoping for? I said, I hope it's short. So let's. I think we're going to get there. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Right, I hope you remember what these words mean. Stree was ground mist, ground morning mist. And Tuval is to frolic with care. Now, genuinely, this is going to be the point. How has that happened? We, and Tuval's a brilliant word. You know, if you make up a word, it can be a verb, it can be a noun, it can be whatever you like. So we reckon that it was a noun and a verb. So you can Tuval, or you can have a Tuval, either way. But maybe, as a community, if we are going to be able to sing songs like this, we have to imagine that we are in the place that these people were. This is Psalms sung by pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem. They would have been absolutely up for it. This would have been their moment. They would have all been in the little bit in the middle of the Venn diagram together. This is it. This is what we're doing. Do you want to come to Jerusalem? Yes. Who's going? We're all going. Brilliant. What for? Like a pilgrimage? Yes. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Now, this is going to sound rubbish, but can you imagine? How good and pleasant it is when God's people live in unity together. How good and pleasant. This would have been people singing this song as they were marching together. Now, I guess, as they were going up the mountain, you know where this is going, they must have been tuvaling. And we, maybe not practically, you know, we don't need to find rocky paths to do together, but maybe we need to, metaphorically, tuval together. Find places to tuval. Find journeys to tuval on. If you think back of some of the best moments of YBC, it's when we've been drawn together for one thing. And at that time, we are God's people living together in unity. Stree. Misty ground, morning stuff, coming off dewy grass when the sun is shining on a cold day. Tuval, to frolic with care. Let's actually look for places that we can tuval together. Now, who saw that coming as the last line of what I was going to say? Let us look for places that we can tuval together. Should we sing?